Now, George was talking to me, Dr. Hayter, this morning about, he explained to me about how thoughts come to mind and they affect the adrenals and the very act of thinking. And you see when they do experiments and group experiments, they put pictures in front of people and they arouse certain feelings. You put pictures in front of me, there'll be nothing. And then words inflame people. You don't know, I don't know when I'm talking that I'm talking to some people, some of my words are landmines. It's almost like it's difficult to talk to people because, you see, I'm talking to Christine and it was a landmine. She took me wrong. When I said, you have to let your father go, it meant everything else except what I said. And then there was a resentment towards me I wouldn't be aware of. There's no harm in me, but she made harm out of it. See that?
I'm grateful this happened so I could start to see these things.
See how dangerous all this is? And then you got no one to talk to, and then when you do have someone to talk to, they don't understand you anyway. Who understands all the things we're talking about? Man, it's just like you. I don't know what you have to be to get to where I am and where you are talking to me. It's like one in a billion.
Well, I really don't have anyone to talk to anymore.
Who does?
Thank you.
Who does? Mm-hmm. But you have to be the kind of person that other people can talk to you. And where you can spot these things because you've been through it yourself. I've been through a lot of things myself, but nothing, you know, like what you guys are going through. See, in other words, when you think of your husband sitting by the lake, all of a sudden your stomach tightens up and so, because your mind is like an environment. To human beings, the mind, when it regurgitates something, it acts like it's something really happening. Mm-hmm. The very thought calls forth all your conditioning, which is ridiculous. But accompanying that thought is an irritation towards it. Unfinished business. If you look very carefully at the thought that arises, there is either a fear or a resentment towards it, which is called, the fear is not love towards your husband. The other side of anger is fear. The other side of resentment, in other words. Resentment is anger. Give it the right name. You never see it hate until it's too late. It kills you. Just before it kills you, you see it. You won't say never, but pretty close to it. The other side of anger is fear. When you react with resentment, it's a flight or fight principle. You are now an animal, not a human. At that point, you have lost your humanity. And you will keep on losing it. And keep but then you become addicted to it because what have you got to replace what you've lost? Only more of the same. See, what robs you of your identity displaces it. And resentment came in through temptation. The nature that you have, the judgmental nature, is pride. That's what comes in. And each time you get resentful, more of that comes in. So you become more prideful. And prideful is judgmental or too forgiving. It's king and judge. What is a king or a queen? Let's take the king. It's easier to talk about. Resentment is a judgment, which eventually becomes a forgiveness, love-hate relationship. You hate, you feel guilty, you love. The king does not know they feel guilty, they just feel in a loving mood. I think I'll forgive him because I want to have sex with him. Something, you know, there's got to be a reason. You know, I hated him, he went out and got drunk, now I'm alone. Oh, I wish I'd like to have him back again. And I really want him, but I really do love him. I'll forgive him. And when he comes back with his hat in his hand, she forgives him. It makes him worse. You see?
It lurks, that judgment lurks in that liberal mentality that I have had so badly all my life and still am growing out of it slowly but
surely.
I
see it in you.
Yeah.
But still love, I love what's there.
Yeah. And but I just wanted to say to the group a little something. I came down with cancer. It was either lymphoma or lung cancer. I had big nodules coming out on my neck here. And I was going to down to 90 some odd pounds, and I was losing life. And I didn't, there was something in me, and I guess that, I don't know how it got there, whether it's from my family or something that's within, that didn't want to go and get the operation and have, you know, have the biopsy. I just didn't want to go that route. I went a more natural route, which was through a chiropractor. But
oh, that's the worst thing. That's the worst thing you can do.
But actually, it was very beneficial to go that route, because after 4 days, he said, and I hadn't improved, he said, Connie, I can't help you.
Oh, good.
So, boom. My locomotion, my train that was going so fast, you know, I was on this fast track of willfulness and wanting to get things done, you know, in my way and get it done. And I had my own business. And
the cancer is getting in your way. How dare
well,
you?
Well, that too.
Yeah.
But it's that cancer. I mean, I ran into this brick wall that it's a lesson I needed, because I couldn't make myself better. I tried. I went to 3 different doctors to try to get myself better. But that didn't work either. And I came home and finally gave up. And that's what it needed. I needed to realize that I couldn't help myself. And I cried out to God for the first time in my life, really crying out to him that I can't get well. I don't know what to do. And the next day, I realized that I was doing something wrong. And I never realized that before. That I always looked to myself as such a good girl, and I'd bend over backwards for everybody, and I would do what needs to be done and take care of it.
You still do.
I still do, to a great degree, too.
But there, I have to stop you.
Okay.
There, you also set me up to fail sometimes.
That's right.
You see that, don't you?
I do. Little inklings at
little
a time.
Little thing. Little willfulness. I'm glad you see
and
it.
And I'm happy to see those things, too. They're so deeply entrenched.
You know, I would not say anything. I was hoping you'd see it for yourself.
And so that next day, when I after I cried out for God's help, it's like I felt something so different. It's like I had my paradigm shift, and I was truly happy to be me, sick as I was, wrong as I was, and willing to see for the first time what I was doing wrong. And from that point on, it's been a growth, a slow growth. And I did realize at that time, I might say, that my anger was towards men, very deeply towards men, which I realized at that time was towards my Heavenly Father. And
your real father from then?
My Heavenly Father, my father, my ex-husband, the current partner I had in business. It was just all transferred. It was transferred from my father to my
and you were ex. Weak, and you were weak before every one of them.
Absolutely, trying to make them happy with me.
But they were parasiting on you and putting their parasitical
and
nature
inside
you.
And I was just making them more angry. I had an ex-husband that was violently angry, you know, an abuser. So and I can see how I brought that all into fruition through being so bloody weak myself.
And the weakness is the resentment. It gives you
judgment.
An extreme of behavior, the loving behavior, the sweet, liberal, the surrender to him.
It's just so backwards from what we're brought up to believe. This is just so backwards.
Thank God that you have a consciousness to disbelieve it.
I thank God for that.
Is that right?
I do.
See?
But the cancer, it started to turn around. I got stronger, and I'm up on my feet. And then that was 10 years ago. So I just know down to the bottom of my toenails that our illnesses are from our wrongdoing, and in my case, a hard-headedness and not willing to see that I was doing something wrong. And I was just, that was just the base for the beginning.
But like Christine, it's almost like it's hard to see that resentment, which is a tiny little like a little mosquito buzzing in your ear. You know?
Judgments are very subtle, and they seem to even be, as you're growing, they even seem to get more subtler. And I see that I'm still tripping into judgments, and the ones I'm aware of, I'm thankful for.
You see them. Life is a lifelong. As you give up the next one, the one that led to it starts to dissolve. It comes to up for a view. So you have a whole bunch to see. But the beauty I don't like the word I'm teaching. I'm not teaching you anything. We're going on a journey together. I'm a guide. I'm a guide to through the galaxy. You know, I'm a hitchhiker, going to hitchhike a ride to see these things, these wonders about yourself. And we just like Christine didn't understand, even to this minute, what hatred and anger and what was doing. Oh, that's what resentment is. And she just caught it because she happened to be resentful towards me. And I hadn't done anything to her, but she had an intuitive enough to catch it. But that could have, if she wasn't intuitive, she would not have caught it.
If this didn't happen to my ear, I wouldn't have remembered that funny split second feeling of surprise.
Yeah, but even so, if you weren't sincere, like David over here, which I hope he's changing, he's not gonna catch anything. Those things go on in his head and they go on forever until you die. And they get worse and worse and worse and more hopeless. The blessing is you catch it. The blessing that your consciousness is still there. It still loves you.
After we talked about it before the lunch, I took a short little walk and I was thanking God that this happened so I could see that.
Or Connie thanks God for her cancer, didn't you?
I did. I was grateful I had it. I needed such a hard lesson to wake up.
See that? Mm-hmm. What do you mean by and he's blind.
What do you mean by drawn to judge?
Drawn to judgment?
Yeah, because I judge everyone.
Yeah, but it's not
I judged David when we pulled up and he's out front smoking. I said, I don't like him. I don't like it here because of him.
Yeah, but it tells you the extent of how sick you are. Here's a guy who's come here for help. Now you see this, the anger towards him is spread to the whole ranch. I don't want to be here because of him. See, he's here for help. You're worse than he is.
I think she's confusing discernment with judgment.
Yeah, no. She's not. Don't. I know the difference because of how it quickly spread to the rest of the ranch. Discernment is, oh. Discernment would be, oh, that guy looks odd. I see it.
Or know that he is odd.
Well, you could see that he's odd. Anybody can see he's odd. My dog can see he's odd.
He looked normal when we pulled up.
I haven't got a dog. You'll die from that. It's the hate towards your father spreading to everything. It's spreading as a disease. Like with your mom. You know what it's like. It spreads. One word judgment is a great guilt. You're full of guilt. And the guilt, how do you get rid of the guilt? You find something else to judge to stay ahead of the judgment. See, when you judge, you're superior to what you judge. So actually, when you feel superior towards judging, puffed up, you're forgetting that there's a judgment on your judgment. You're in conflict with God. Your conflict is only God is judge.
He said, people mess with you and you don't even do bad, or you're not doing a bad thing.
But you are doing a bad thing inside you.
They don't like them?
Well, listen, can you not like ice cream and not hate it? A lot of people, if they don't like something, they hate it. There's no distinction between, I don't like ice cream. Some people, I hate ice cream. If they don't like it, they hate it. That's what it means. And if they like it, they love it. Oh my God, they're always in extremes. Why can't you just say, I don't like that person. I don't like my wife, I love her. That's confusing. I don't like my kids when they're naughty. I don't hate them. See, this love is always constant. Love, don't hate your enemy. Like your friends, love them. your enemy comes along and tries to confuse you, whoever your enemy is. But the point is, if you're not in your center, you fall to hating them. They do purpose, meaningless, cruel little things because they know you're weak and they will own you. And your defense is not, your anger is not, your resentment is not a defense. Your judgment plays right into their hands. You are becoming the very thing you hate. You're slowly but surely turning into a witch. You have to look at this. I'm glad you came to the seminar. You're just sitting there quiet. I always say quiet people, you know, I was hoping you'd say something. I'm glad you did. You're going to have to learn to look at people for what they are. If they're nice people, if they seem nice, don't say, oh, he's wonderful. Oh, I think, isn't he sweet and what? No, don't do that. You look at them, they look like a nice person. Okay, wait and see. They look like a bad person. Okay, I have to watch out for that person, yes. There's certain things that you need to, no, I don't think I could trust that person. But you don't hate them. You have no feeling about one way or the other. You don't like them. You don't have a feeling of being good around them or bad around them. You start being manipulated when you start reacting like that. And pretty soon people control you without even trying. But what if you didn't react at all? Either to your mom? Your mom is mistaken. Isn't that nice to say, oh, mother, that man that you thought was a nice person, he really wasn't. But you kept it a secret. And you're ashamed of it. And all of a sudden you have a whole life of judgments which is all secret. It's a secret sense of righteousness you get. It's all wrong. You getting it now?
A little bit?
Just drop your resentments. You're beginning to close up at 17 years old. Your life is already going downhill. And your mom, she's paying for hers too, aren't you? You got two women in one house? It's lucky you're still alive. No, I'm just kidding you. Yes.
I mean, I've been angry too on just a lot of things, but I used to...
You got that smile, they got that little smiley crease on your face. Go ahead.
But I didn't used to be that way.
What brought it on?
I think it was a combination of a lot of things. My dad not being able to see anymore made me real angry that it got to that. But at the same time...
Did you get angry because you couldn't see?
Yeah.
Listen, it gets really bad. I knew a man, a man, yes. He came home from Vietnam with one arm, so he couldn't play baseball with his son anymore. His son hated him because he didn't have an arm. But that's how low you can sink. That's how, or, you know, your husband dies, so you hate your husband for dying. You're left alone with nothing to judge. Your conscience starts to catch up, so you dredge up his ectoplasm. You can actually have a love-hate relationship with someone who isn't even there. It gets really bad.
That really almost translates into a hatred of God because you're
of course.
Hating. Yeah.
Of course.
That's what I've seen.
You begin to have doubts about God. Why would God allow his father to go blind when he didn't know that his father went blind for doing the wrong stuff?
You're paying for your sins.
Exactly.
And you will pay for yours too. And you will pay for yours too. It'd be nice if you didn't have to, if you could learn early from the suffering you have. Whatever suffering there is, there's going to be some kind of suffering from that.
Yeah, that's really actually the only problem I have. I mean, I know I have like these problems like my dad's eyes going bad or my mom's eyes, but they're not really problems. The problem is that I get mad at it.
Because it threatens your security.
Yeah.
See, but you're not secure in yourself. And you're not secure in yourself because you're judging.
Uh-huh.
Let's help it. See, a secure person doesn't judge. It's the insecure people that judge. You can see why insecure people would judge? Because they resent people superior to them. And they have to be made worse than them. And if they're worse than them, that works okay for them too. You see? So you sit there and always judging and you're always right and never wrong. That's what an ego is, always right, never wrong.
How do you protect yourself from bad things?
Well, I started saying that you can't do that yourself. There's something that your father has found. What have you found, Dad?
That you have to make God your very first thing.
Doing what's right. And the right thing isn't hating wrong to feel right. Because it's ego. Hating wrong and feeling right. The Baptists are very good. They have made a religion out of hating the devil. Stamping their feet and shaking their fist at the devil. And with a preacher with sweat rolling down his face, and everybody's yelling, screaming, and flailing in their hands. And ever seen that? They're crazy. They're nutty as fruitcakes. Hating wrong. They have to have a devil to hate, so they can never, the devil can never go away. Especially inside them.
I've always hated injustice. I've always...
But that's how injustice wins.
I know.
That's how... The skill of injustice, the art form of it, the subtlety of it, the slyness of it.
I was raised in a family of 15 children, and I noticed that just, you know, for a while there I was doing okay, because through my 30s I was kind of sick with the same problem.
Yes.
And I did end up going in my room one day, and I just laid on my bed and I told God, there's absolutely nothing that I could do about this. Nothing. And then I saw in my eyelids, if my eyes were closed, but the room lit up like a light bulb, like the sun had just shined through the window onto my face. But when I opened my eyes, the sun was on the other side of the house. And I knew that there was a God.
Yes.
And
but you're still stuck.
Well, I was stuck. I know that he would say things like you do, but he didn't follow through with them and do what he was saying.
Yes.
He was continuously... through our marriage, always doing it, and it would make me doubt. I'm thinking, this is my husband. I'm supposed to be following him, listening to his guidance, but yet he was hypocritical about it, of a lot of the things he would say to me. You know, when we coached the kids' baseball teams, he got angry with the children, and I knew that was wrong, and I even came to the point
and
where
then
I
you
said,
got angry because he was wrong.
Well, I told him, I said, I can't do this with you anymore if you're going to go... and you're going to be angry with these kids or impatient with them. And those kind of things
That's
happened
good.
All
that
throughout.
Good. That was good.
I
can back it up, though.
And, but I kept, I did give in thinking that, you know, because he convinced me that, like, he, when he talks, he sounds like you. But he doesn't follow through with it.
It's a wonder you don't hate me.
I don't hate you, I can see.
A lot of people do hate me because a lot of parents bring up children and they're like... They're,
set my kids up to hate you because I was so phony, baloney, plastic. I spouted the words but had not the spirit behind it, and I just absolutely hurt my kids and ruined them so much. And they still have animosity towards Roy this day. They haven't worked.
Christians parents set their children to hate the very Christ that could save them.
Well, when this thing happened with my mom, and I knew in my gut that I did not want to go over there. I knew I didn't want to be a part of that. And
what thing happened with your mom?
With my mom and the exorcism, and I spent the night there with her, and that happened to me. But I knew beforehand that there was something really wrong with going over there. But I listened to him, you know, and I went.
You didn't listen to your conscience.
I didn't listen to my conscience. And so if I feel an anger towards him that all this happened to me because of him...
I get it, but no, it's your own fault.
I know it. I didn't listen to my own conscience.
That's the key.
That's how it is. That's where I'm at right now. Is that like when I woke up this morning and yesterday morning, it's like the mornings I have those thoughts come in to blame him, you know, to blame him for the problems. But I know it's not his fault. It's my fault.
Well, he's got to take back his part.
No, you know, it's no defense on my part, but, you know, what ends up happening is that even my best intentions, she picks out the wrong part of it, just like that lady did to you.
Yes.
She does the same thing to me. She failed to mention
that. Was a good point.
I went over with her because I didn't want her to be alone. I spent the night on the couch, night after night.
Why did you go to your mother?
She was dying, right? And all that.
Oh, that's right. That thing got into you from the mother.
Exactly.
That's what the exorcism was all about.
What I'm saying is that she, you know, even my best intentions, no matter what they are.
Hold a second.
She takes on the wrong one.
Let me just see if there's anything left. Anything?
I don't think so.
Good. It worked the first time. On the telephone. I did an exorcism on the telephone. Yeah, it's gone. I knew it was gone. I just want to check. This is my stethoscope.
I saw you bring that up. I saw it sitting there and I thought, oh.
Why you got that one? You check over here?
No, I'll come around. I'll come around to you later. We'll see. I want to catch you when you least expect it. Because
okay.
I see when I come around with a cross, they see it coming, and something inside sees it, fears, and hides. And then some people then don't even know it's there, so they don't know what... There it is. I don't know if I should go around to... Should we leave that a little later?
Do it now. I've got something in me. I want it out.
But there's sometimes a little timing involved, you see. Oh. See now, let me work with Christine a minute. See, just sit there. You feel anything right away?
Do I feel anything?
Mm-hmm.
No, I just feel warm.
Warm. Warm.
My hands feel warm.
That's good.
I feel peaceful.
Because that's one of the good things. People will feel warm all over. The minute it, now, there's a reason why a cross works. I'll tell you why. Before we see any displays of that could be a little bit disconcerting, there's no need to fear what could happen in this room. Possibly during this seminar, it may not. But what is there will respond to what is here. And the reason why it is because of the victory of Jesus, the cross, that was the symbol of defeat. No one can endure that and not hate the hurter. See, that was the perfect man. And you don't hate a perfect, you don't do that to a perfect man without suffering a consequence. Lo, they've hated me without a cause. People who hate me in big trouble. Yeah, they never get over it. As long as I have his nature in me. See, so the thing is, the cross, the thing that lives in human beings, has come from generation to generation. In other words, it doesn't live in the air, although it's around, and I don't know how to describe that it's the case. Little children, it comes to children's minds, but I don't know where it's coming from. It's coming from probably from birth, because the fact that they're born egotistical, and the minute they can talk and think, it starts to become active with words and things like that. But the farmer that has the two pigs, so he's like the person who owns everybody on the planet. Because from the first two, the good book says it very simply, through one man, sin and death through sin. We're all born, and this is what I wanted to go with you through with you a little bit, because we didn't finish off. And this is a good place to introduce it. We're all born animal. We're born, and there's always been a little bit of embarrassment to think of a baby being born that way. There's something awkward about sex. There's something embarrassing about it. One sort of modesty about that. You don't ever want to lose that. And there's something gross about. Not the most beautiful thing in the world, yeah. There's something beautiful, but there's something not so beautiful. You can color it the way you want, but there's something awkward, scary, frightening. See? Like, isn't not as real, not as wonderful as they say it is. The first pair weren't born created that way. We all come down from that state. An imperfect state, the first imperfect father, from the first uncorrected woman. What was in the woman? What was uncorrected got into Adam. Every child ever born, every man child ever born, has the nature of the uncorrected woman. And that's why all men fail. See, remember I said that men have two origins. Man, animals only have one. One we fell from. We inherited the one that the first man fell from. That's what we have to come back to. But we only come back to it after suffering with the woman that begot us, because we go back to the woman for the reinforcement, for the replenishment of the race, but at the same time, the reinforcement for our egos, our pride, our glory, and she rewards us. You know, we work hard, and our whole life revolves around the approval of a woman. Whole life. It's horrible. It's just, sooner or later, it all falls apart. It never, ever will be any. It's for the woman it falls apart. She dies lonely or very rich, having killed six husbands. I know one woman who killed six husbands, got all the money. Now she has Alzheimer's, and she doesn't know she has any money. It's all kinds of combinations. This punishment knows no end. So, it is the relationship, the unfinished business of Adam and Eve. Man born of woman, not fully understanding. You know what they say about the regular law? There's no excuse. Knowledge, you know, ignorance is no excuse. And so, ignorance or ignorance, denial, is the excuse is no excuse. Because you see, you're doing the same thing. You're drawn to the woman. The woman is the source of who you are, both physically and spiritually, psychologically. Your whole psychology, because the ego sits in it, and it is bonded to the mother. Every child is bonded to the mother. And I mean bondage. And now the role of the father, what's wrong with him? Why can't he do anything? He's also bonded to the mother of his ego. The wife takes the place of the mother. And so a man leaves his mother and father and becomes joined to the woman, and they become one flesh. And I say to myself, something's wrong with this picture. That's punishment. For a man to be joined to the woman, that's what was wrong to begin with. It would have been the woman, man, one with the Creator, and her joined in respect to his, put the fruit down, Eve. Respecting, but he wasn't respectable. In order to do something wrong, you need temptation. No temptation, I mean, the animals are amoral, they can't do anything wrong, they can't do anything right, they're amoral. Temptation. Women are built in tempters or temptresses.
We were also talking about why it was necessary.
Well, so the whole human race comes in by men being born of women, the first man with the impure seed, compromised. He's not the same anymore. There's no connection. The woman has now the power. Like that, she's born a dope pusher. See? And unconsciously demoralizes her children. But what passes from the woman to the female, effortlessly, it goes right to her. It slips in because they have the same shape and form. They have the same. There's no violation here. It just goes boop.
My husband told me that he resented my daughter. Also because she had...
You both hate him.
Because she has my nature in her.
Of course.
Now, of course, your daughter could have a different nature. My daughter, my wife's nature got into her, but she locked onto me, otherwise she would have gone mad. So she's got too much of me in hers. She's too much for her dad, see? So she still has a little conflict she has to overcome. But because she loved me, she's okay. She's okay here. There's a few things she's got to take care of with her mom. Because when she sees her mom still doing to me what was done to her and to me all those years, she hasn't changed. Then she still has that rekindling of that anger in her. So my daughter has a man-like thinking, meaning every woman has got to think like a man. Otherwise, every man's going to think like a woman, and we wouldn't want that. Because there's the whole idea of as a man to bring a woman, because a woman is possessed by a certain kind of thought process, which Katya, is that what your name? Forget Katya. Katya, you saw that you have a nature in you that is that, but it isn't you. It's the same nature as Eve, and when Eve opened her mouth, It wasn't her speaking. And you can see how women could be completely possessed by that if men feed themselves to it. Is that, you can see it, can't you?
It happened to me a couple of weeks ago, which is some bloop. And I embarrassed the guy, and I got to him. And he got upset in front of his friends. And then I said, look, I got to you. Look what happened. I don't know what happened. It just came out. Just what you were saying. And I said, oh my gosh, what just happened?
And I can just see that, Eve. But there are some women who like the way they are. And some men are beasts, and they like the way they are. See, so we don't have them in this room, thank God. We have thoughtful women. So that's what you are longing for, a man to be what Adam failed to be. And the trouble is, when men are born of women, they come from fathers, come from homes, that they also failing men from generations. So it's a whole hundreds of generations of failing men. And women nurturing the failing men and them dying. And then just breeding kids who are confused and confounded, and they bring their baggage to the marriage and they do to each other, and it replicates itself. In one form or other, the man plays the woman's role, the woman plays the man's role, whatever, it's the role. See? And so, it's the suffering. You will have suffering from the day you are born to suffer. You cannot avoid it. You're a fool. Only a person who's an imbecile who runs around in an insane asylum or a drug addict, you're avoiding the suffering, but you're suffering anyway. You don't know you're suffering. You don't know you're dying. You're not really avoiding anything. You're actually getting more deeper into something that's helping you not to see it. See? That's the nature of all addictions, whether it's addiction to sex or even your thoughts. You could be addicted to just your thoughts. And so, but this is the nature of the world. You're born flesh and blood, and this is the hard part. This is the difficult part to explain. But I'll try my best. See, because Adam had a bright nature. I mean, he wasn't perfect, but he had the choice to be perfect or imperfect, but he didn't see it that way. If I was the serpent, I would say, look, God, even God says if you eat the fruit, you become as a god. So what's the big deal? Maybe he's just testing you to see if you're man enough to stand up to him. You know, the kind of language. And, of course, there's a natural rebellion. There's a natural inclination, if you have a little piece of God in you, to play God. You see that? You can't have a whole lot. But there's something in him that is meant to cry to him. Because that crying always will be fulfilled. There's always be a father that loves you. But it's not an earthy father that dies. So you've got to be careful of loving an earthy father forever, because you'll be in the grave with him. See? Unless you love him in the right way. You were loving him in the wrong way. You kept on resurrecting him. Kept on making him more better than he really was, so that you could reconcile yourself to him. See? Bad mojo. So here is a little piece of a God in us, but it's been corrupted. It actually hasn't been corrupted. Is that when we come into the world, it becomes violated by the very act of being born to a woman, because the father's not there. The father has got a new mama, is having sex with his mother. It's no different. So, but there's also, when a man becomes more perfect, if a man is too noble, it feels like you're having sex with your father. And there's a reason why that is, because Eve was Adam's daughter. It was a clone. So it was a father-daughter relationship. The end result of a marriage should be father-daughter relationship. It starts sexual. It begins that way. But as love, as the understanding of what the sin is, dawns on the man through the suffering with the woman. And if he's got any brains, he's awakened by the pain of his relationship. I quit long time ago. See? It was killing me. And because naturally she would resent that. But in mind, I could see that I was brain drained. And so I grew further apart, like more like a dad than a husband. But that's the role. In the end, and I'm just cutting it short, and I'll start again fresh, because it's nice to quickly come to the end. in the end, a relationship, a marriage relationship should be a patriarchy. And not a matriarchy where the man says, yes, mother, no, mother, we're going to grandma's house. We don't go to grandmother's house in my house. We go to grandfather's house. Because God owns me, I own my wife, and you see, I'm in charge. And she didn't elect me. She doesn't elect anybody.
Well, that's the order it says in the Bible it's supposed to be, and I've never seen it before.
For more information about Roy Masters and the Foundation of Human Understanding, please write to Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528, or you can call the office 1-800-877-3227. You may also visit us online at www.fhu.com.